to the psalm that we read, Psalm 84. Psalm 84, and we would like to consider the words in the ninth verse. The Lord will enable us. Psalm 84, verse 9. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. And these words are the words of a man of a prayer who is conscious that the Lord sees him and looks upon us all and is looking upon us here this day. And sometimes we see pictures from a great height, looking down on the earth, and the faith in the soul of the child of God knows that God is looking down upon the earth. And though we cannot see him, he sees us. And he not only looks upon us from heaven, as the psalmist says in Psalm 80, that return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts, look down from heaven and behold, and visit this thy vine, and visit this vine, this thy vine. And the question may be asked, well, if God is in heaven, then he is at a great distance from us. And how can he see us as individuals in the speck that this earth is, in the vast universe that he has made? But God does not see the way we see. The eyesight of God is not dim, but he sees us as individuals, and he sees us all the time, and he sees us at this moment. And the all-seeing nature of God is spoken of in Psalm 139, that thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my sitting down, mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. It's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. And so the distinct impression of the word that we have just read in Psalm 119 is that there is no obstacle behind which we can hide. There is no darkness in which we can hide from the all-seeing eye of God looking down from heaven upon us, looking down from the habitation of his holiness and of his glory, the God who shall come to judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath chosen, who himself sees everything. Otherwise he would not be a competent judge if he did not see everything. And the omniscience of God is not only seeing your physical frame, but hearing your voice. The all-knowing ear of God hearing your voices. Indeed, before we speak, he is aware, cognizant of the thought that is in our hearts. Before I speak, before a word is in my mouth, thou knowest it. The psalmist said in Psalm 139, which we have just read, I know thy thoughts, every one of them. And the second chapter of John, at the close of that chapter, it says that Jesus did not commit himself unto any man, for he knew what was in man. So he knows what is in us. He knows what is in us because he sees it. There is nothing hidden from him. God would not be a God if there was any place where he was excluded, if there was anything that was taking place that he was not aware of, even in our thoughts and our feelings and the frames of our hearts. And if you read the Gospels carefully, you will see that Jesus knew what was in the hearts of his enemies. He could read their thoughts because in his divine nature he was omniscient, knowing all things. And it is to that one that the psalmist, it's a psalm for the sons of Korah, to the chief musician upon Gittith. The one who is here making this prayer, behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. He is fully aware of the fact that God sees him. And that God knows all things about him. And when God looks upon man, we know what it is that he sees. The Bible tells us consistently and throughout the whole of the scriptures, it tells us that man was created holy. And what God saw in man when he had created him holy was that it was all very good. That it was all very good. It was pleasing to God. God made man holy. There was no sin in Adam when God created him. But when Adam sinned, we sinned in him and fell with him in his first transgression. And what God sees in us now is a sin. That is what he sees in us. And you will find that the prayers in the Bible of good and godly men who are born again, and the sayings of men and the sayings of women, such as Hannah and Mary, there is a consciousness of sin, a consciousness of sin, and admitting that we have sinned, and that because we have sinned, we are worthy to be banished from the presence of God. For a sin is that abominable thing that the Lord hateth. That the Lord has opened a way for sinners. to come to him through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are able to confess our sins. It may be that a person at a particular stage in his or her spiritual experience may be afraid to confess their sins because they are thinking of God as an absolute God. But what that person needs is to look to God in Christ. The God in Christ is a God of mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So that they come confessing their sins to the God that dwelleth in heaven, in the habitation of his holiness and his glory, where Christ is. And their prayer and petition is made unto God through Christ. And that is what we have in this psalm, in Psalm verse 9, in this psalm, Psalm 84, "Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed." Look upon the face of thine anointed. The word anointed is the same word as the name Christ. The name Christ is derived from the verb to anoint. And that is the one to whom we are here directed. "Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thy Christ, of thy dear anointed, thine anointed dear. Look not upon us, but look upon him." And when we are singing in the Psalms, we read so many prayers, and they are all made to God in the name of his dear anointed. They are saying, "Look not upon us, look upon thine anointed dear. Look upon the intercessor, the advocate at the right hand of the Father. Behold, O God, our shield. Behold our shield. Behold our shield. And look upon the face of thine anointed dear. Our shield is Christ." And the Father's anointed dear is Christ. So that faith in the soul of the true child of God believes that there is a God, and he believes that God is seeing him, that God is looking upon him, and that not only that, but that God is seeing his sins. It is true that there are several passages in Scripture which speak of the sins of God's people being hid from the eye of God. But that refers to the eye of God's justice. It doesn't refer to the eye of God's omniscience. God sees everything. He sees the wounds and the bruises and the putrefying sores. As they are in Christ, cleansed in his blood and covered in the robe of his righteousness, the prophet says and can say, there is no iniquity in his Jacob. There is no ground of condemnation in his Jacob. The ground of his condemnation has been taken away. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he took up the cross and carried it away to Calvary, he took away the guilt of their sins, the ground of their condemnation. He took it away into the wilderness of his suffering like the scapegoat, and like the lamb for a burnt offering, and like the red heifer outside the camp. Jesus went forth outside the camp, bearing a wooden cross. But what he was really bearing it was the burden of the guilt of the sins of a number that no man can number, those who today will endeavour to show forth his death in obedience to his divine command, when they will say there is a Saviour, there is a true, divine, reliable testimony concerning Jesus Christ as a Saviour. And they are saying that he is worthy to be honoured. He is worthy to be honoured. He is worthy to be trusted with the care of my soul for time and for eternity. And they will be showing that forth, that that is what they believe concerning him, and showing forth the Lord's death until he comes in the strength of promised grace. But what were they doing this morning? They were praying and confessing their sins, we believe. They found their case somewhere in the Psalms. And the word is shone in their hearts. And they felt that they were in the foothills of heaven, reading the word of God in the Psalms of David, and full of the blessing of the Lord in their hearts, while they were saying, "For thy name's glory, help us, Lord, who hast our Saviour been. Deliver us for thy name's sake, O purge away our sin. Against us mind not former sins thy tender mercy show. Let them prevent us speedily, for we are brought very low." So that the Lord's people, and a people who look within and who acknowledge what they are, and acknowledge that they are sinners. In me that is in my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. And if they have grace in their hearts, as we heard yesterday, that grace is from the Lord. Everything that belongs to them is wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. That everything that is of grace belongs and is theirs as a gift of the Lord Jesus. So that faith believes that God is seeing them, that there is a God and that God is seeing them, and that what God is seeing, they acknowledge to be wounds and bruises and putrefying sores in them. He sees them as a father, not as a judge, because Christ has taken away the guilt of them. The guilt of their sins has been dealt with in Christ. Their past sins are forgiven. Their future sins will not be imputed. The Lord looks on them as wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that need to be healed with the balm of the glorious gospel, with the blood that was shed for the remission of sins. And that their spiritual leprosy and spiritual diseases would be healed not with the balm that is in Gilead, but the balm that is at Calvary, in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And it is to that they are looking, not to anything that is of the flesh. For they say in me that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. And it may be that you're here and you were looking for something for your soul before you came to the house of God, and you couldn't find anything. The book, the Bible, was like a closed book to you. That was not speaking to you. No promise was speaking to you. You couldn't enter into the spirit of any of David's prayers as you have done on occasions previously. But now the book is a closed book. The word is not shining the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in your heart. Now your heart is dead and cold and troubled. But the Lord sees you. And you are anxious that the Lord sees a carcass, as it were, a vile carcass full of sin, full of the corruption of spiritual death, and you grieve over it, perhaps to such an extent that you cannot bring it to him, but you must bring it to him. The Lord sends these troublous times to send that their troublous times will send us to him. In the morning of a sacramental occasion, when we cannot find him, it is a most troubling thing for the Lord's people. But the Lord sees it. He looks down from heaven, and you know that he looks down from heaven. But you must remember that he looks upon your wounds and your bruises with a tender sympathy, a tender sympathy from the deep wells of divine love. And he knows our frame, and he knows your frame, and he knows what you are, and he knows what you wrestle with, and he knows what you are tempted with. And he knows what the devil is doing to make you stumble. And he knows all these things. He knows how ordinary business of family affairs can take up so much of our time. He knows all things concerning us. He sees the affliction of his people. And he sees them when they hunger and thirst to get a portion, that a portion of divine truth would speak to them. Their tongue faileth them for thirst. And they say with regard to that condition, I perish with hunger. But the Lord is seeing it. And the Lord is seeing grace in your soul, wrestling and struggling against the deadness and carnality that you find within you, and your grief and sadness when the Word of God is not speaking to you. But you must wait on him. Wait on the Lord, and be thou strong, and he shall strength afford unto your heart. Yea, do thou wait, I say, upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And that is what you are to do, to wait, praying and pleading and asking and saying, as David did in this psalm that we sang, Psalm 89, or some other place, against us mine not former sins. Thy tender mercies show, let them prevent us speedily, for we are brought very low. For thy name's glory, help us, Lord. Do it for thy sake. Do it for him that bears thy name, for the sake of the Lord Jesus, for the sake of the mediator, the one whose blood was shed for the remission of sins, the one who purchased all the blessings that ever a child of God has known in his heart. For thy name's sake, for thy name's glory, help us, Lord, who hast our Saviour been. Deliver us for thy name's sake. O purge away our sin. So that faith believes that there is a God, and that God sees us, and God is seeing you today, and he was seeing you this morning, and he was seeing you on your way to the house of God, and he was hearing your cry. He was observing perhaps your dumbness, that you could not pray. But the Lord sees it, and he knows very well what is good for you, and what he will do for you, and what he will do for you through his holy word. And that is what we see here in this verse, that the psalmist is asking that the Lord would not look upon him. Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer, give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield. Look upon him who is our shield from the claims of divine justice, our shield from the curse of the broken covenant, The one who came between the sword of avenging justice and your soul, the one who came in to that place between the sword of avenging justice and your precious immortal soul, that is our shield, and he is our shield. And look upon thy shield. The Father is well pleased that for his righteousness' sake. The Father is well pleased if that Christ should be our shield, and that he should be your shield, who put your trust in him, and who look to him, and who come to the throne of grace, pointing to the shield, which is Christ. Christ, the anointed, look upon the face of thy Christ. Look upon the face of thine anointed. Look upon the face of thine anointed dear. And we may put it like this, that God, looking down from heaven, from the habitation of his holiness and of his glory, and he is pointing you to this sinner here who is seeking Christ and cannot find him. He's maybe seeking Christ for the first time, but it may be someone who is seeking Christ in you, and who is desiring that the controversy between Christ and his soul would be removed, between God and his soul would be removed by the blood of Jesus Christ, that God would look upon him in Christ, clothed in Christ's righteousness, looking upon him, cleansed in the blood of Christ, though he still has wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, though still there is a leprosy of corruption within his heart, so that he's saying, when I would do good, evil is present with me. And God is pointing to that one, we may say, and giving directions with regard to the case of that person and the case of that person, and sending forth his word by his Holy Spirit to that person, as if there was no one else before his eye. But that is what the Lord is doing. And if we may put it like that, pointing it to that person, and sending his word and sending his spirit to that person for their spiritual help and their strength, for sending his promise, as we have in the words of the prophet Isaiah, when the poor and the needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth them for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Jacob, will hear them. I, the God of Jacob, will help them. I will not fail them, nor forsake them. That is what is taking place when we think of God's dealings with his people on a day such as this, and the seeking a blessing, seeking a confirmation of their interest in Christ. And that is what is taking place. God is looking upon them. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The bride says in Isaiah 49, the Lord hath forsaken me, and the Lord hath forgotten me. And the Lord answers, can a sucking child forget the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, but I will not forget thee. I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands, and thy walls are continually before me. And you're to remember that. Yes, friend, that's what we're to do. We can take our backslidings and return to the Lord. Take with you words and return unto the Lord. We can take our sins and take them to the Lord through the anointed one, under the shelter of the shield. It's not that God, the Father, bears anything but love towards his people. It's not that God is all justice and Christ is all grace, but God is all love, just as Christ is all grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God. And we have Christ as our advocate at the right hand of the Father because of the love of the Father. That in the arrangement the covenant of grace, the Father upholds the claims of divine justice as one party in that covenant. The Son represents his people. And the Son is appointed by the Father with the Son's consent. That is what is taking place. The Lord is seeing us. Yes, he's seeing us. He's seeing you one here and you are endeavoring to pray and to plead that the Lord would warm your heart to divine things, and the Lord is seeing it with approbation. To this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and that trembleth at my word. That trembleth at my word. To this man will I look, even to that man that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and that trembleth at my word. And you're here, friend, and you're trembling at the word. You're trembling at the solemnity of the sacrament. You're trembling at the difficulty of the duty that is before you. And you're endeavoring to pray, and Satan is resisting you. He is accusing you before the God of eternity, like he was doing with Joshua the high priest. But this is what Satan hears. And this is what the Lord, our shield, is saying. The Lord rebuke thee, Satan. Is not this a brand plucked from the burning? Is not this a brand plucked from the burning? A new garment was put upon him. He was a priest, and a new crown was put upon his head. He was reminded of his former dignity, and the dignity of his office. He is now you are now like him, clothed in the righteousness of Christ, looking to that robe, as it were, putting it on again. Put it on him. The Father said to the servants, his servants, about the prodigal son, bring the best robe and put it on him. And that is what the Father is saying concerning that you're right to have, not only to possess Christ's righteousness, but to know that you possess Christ's righteousness. Put it on him. It's a great fit because it's made for sinners, and it's a great fit for you and me. It is a perfect fit for sinners, this beautiful robe of the perfect righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And put it on him. Put it on him, servants. Servants of the Father, put it on him. Put it on him. Comfort ye, my people. Speak ye comfortably unto Jerusalem. Comfort ye, my people. Fear not, neither be thou dismayed, for I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with everlasting kindness will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, with great mercies will I have mercy upon thee, saith the Lord. Thy Redeemer, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. I have redeemed thee, friend. I have paid the ransom price You who are exercising your soul about the heinousness of your sin, the hardness of your heart, the coldness of your heart, in the ordinances of divine worship, the annoyance of unbelief, and your desire to mount up with wings, your desire to be set free as a bird from the fowler's snare. The Lord is seeing it all. He knows what is here in your heart. Yes, yes, there's another one here, and the Lord is seeing it. And his mind is away to the ends of the earth. And the Lord is seeing it. He's seeing the place to which your mind is wandering. And I know thy thoughts, every one of them, he is saying. And that person has a great need to remember where he is and where he is going. And that it is an evil thing and a bitter to sin against the Lord. But come, you friend, to Christ. Come to the blessed champion, the great conqueror, and the great king and the prince of peace and the mighty God, and you will find satisfaction to your soul for time and for eternity. Now, that's one thing. The person who is here making this prayer is looking up to God, and the God to whom he is looking up is looking down from the habitation of his holiness and of his glory. And that is what is here in this verse 9, this prayer: Behold, O God, our shield. And that is the next thing that the faith sees. Not only sees what we've already mentioned, that God sees us, and that God sees the condition of his people from time to time and place to place and communion to communion. The faith in the soul of this man of prayer is pointing to Christ. Pointing to Christ. Yes, he's pointing to Christ because God sent the Holy Spirit to direct him to Christ. The hand of God is on Christ. In the Holy Scriptures, the Father is pointing to Christ as a Savior, and that is given in the glorious gospel of the blessed God. And you have that in the first chapter of Isaiah, and the 18th verse, where the words are, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Come now, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as the wool. And we think of that in terms of a command to do something now, come now. And what that command is, to come to Christ without hesitation or delay. Oh, I cannot come to Christ, you're saying. Yes, friend, I know that. But you bring your inability to Christ. And come with a broken heart for your sin. Oh, minister, my heart's as hard as the devil. Well, you come to Christ with your heart that is as hard as the devil. Nobody can mend your heart but Christ. And you come to him without a moment's hesitation. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as the wool. There's another way in which we can read the words, and that is come now. Now that I see the blood, come now. And now that I see the blood that was shed for the remission of sins. It was the same in Egypt. The Paschal lamb was slain. It was roast with fire. Roast with fire. That, friend, is a picture of the love of Christ giving himself to the flaming sword of avenging justice in the room in the place of lost sinners, roast with fire. A furnace that was heated 7 times by the avenging justice of God. Not like Nebuchadnezzar's furnace, that was heated 7 times, but he was but a puny monarch of the earth. The furnace that Christ went through, and the love that he has to his people, it was a furnace heated 7 times by the wrath of the Father. Wrath of the Father. Oh, minister, why do you say the wrath of the Father against the Son? Why, friend? Why? Because of this, Christ represented his people when he went into the furnace of avenging wrath. He took with him into the furnace of avenging wrath the guilt of all the guilt of all his people. And he gave satisfaction to divine justice in the furnace of avenging wrath for all their sins. So that as far as the eye of divine justice is concerned, they are buried in the depths of the sea. Buried in the depths of the sea. What sea will that be? You'll be thinking of a great sea, a sea of great quantity. No, it's not a sea of great quantity, but it's a sea of a particular quality. It's the sea of the blood of Christ. And there's an infinite merit in every drop of the blood of Christ to take away the guilt of their sins. And you ask the Lord to put you among them. Put you among them. That one that is a hearer of prayer, look to him. Look to him who hears prayer. Prayer of the destitute, he surely will regard. The prayer of the destitute, the prayer of those that are doomed to die at the hand of avenging justice. He is a prayer hearing God. He is a prayer hearing Savior. Yes, the great love of Christ. And God the Father is pointing sinners in the gospel to Christ. Not only is the elect sinner an object of his intense interest, but that the sinner, the elect sinner in the world, would be directed to Christ and directed to this fact, that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Look unto me. Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved. For I am God, and there is none else, a just God and a Savior. Look unto me, behold them. We are to behold him whom God is pointing to, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. That is what we're to do, to look to him whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. Propitiation, what's that? Propitiation is a word for the finished work of Christ, viewed in this light, that it opens a way for God to have mercy on sinners without violating the claims and prerogatives of divine justice. That is what propitiation is. That is what propitiation is. And that is what we are to look to in Christ. That it enables God to have mercy upon us for Jesus' sake. Behold, O God, our shield. That's where it all lies. Looking to Christ. Looking to the propitiation whom God has set forth as a propitiation through faith in his blood. Look upon the face of thine anointed. Yes, behold, come now. Now that I see the blood, now that when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And now that I see the blood, that the way of mercy to sinners without violating the claims of divine justice, it is discovered that propitiation has been accomplished by the eternal Son of my love, accomplished by mine anointed dear, and we are invited to look to him. That's what we are to do. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. That's Christ, the anointed. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. Behold him. So that we have faith, seeing God by faith, not with the eye of the body, but with the eye of the soul. Knowing from the testimony of Scripture that God seest me, thou God seest me, and understanding that, and understanding that God is seeing me, the sinner, and understanding, the believer understanding that God is seeing him and her in their struggles, in their warfare with the devil, in their warfare with sin within. And faith understands that. And that's the great point that Satan disputes throughout the whole course of the journey. That God doesn't care for me. Doesn't care for me. He's not interested in me. Does care for you, a child of God. And he does have an interest in you. Mine eye and my heart shall be there perpetually. I will watch over it lest any hurt it. I will water it every moment, lest any injure it. I will keep watch over it day and night. I will never leave thee. And then faith sees God the Father upholding the claims of divine justice, pointing to Christ crucified. Come now that I see the blood. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And we are here, and the work is done, and it is finished. And you, friend, wrestling and warring with sin within and devils without, you're willing to say this, concerning that hope, slender as it might be, that Christ is yours, with his seed to say, he has done this. What right do you have peace in your soul, Satan says, and unbelief says? What right have you to think you have peace with God? He hath done it. He hath done this. What right have you to think that your sins are taken away? He hath done it. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. What right have you to think that you have a title to heaven, Satan is saying? He hath done this. The blessed, beloved Lord Jesus has done it. He has wrought a robe of perfect righteousness put that robe, that robe is my warrant to entertain the hope of everlasting life in heaven with Christ. Everlasting life is the reward that is given to a perfect righteousness. You and I, if we have received Christ, we have received the robe of his perfect righteousness, and that is our warrant for eternal life. The blessed Lord. The Father is directing us to Christ. The Word of God is directing us to Christ. The promises are directing us to Christ. This pulpit is directed here to direct us to Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thy Christ. Look not upon me, but look upon him. Look not upon me with the eye of thy justice, but look upon him who satisfied justice. are such as I am. And may the Lord give us some strength and consolation in view of the duties that lies before us, especially the Lord's people today, showing forth the Lord's death until he come, saying in all the midst of all their battles and warfare and all their enemies, the Lord spreading a table in the midst of their enemies, as we have in the 23rd Psalm, my table he has furnished in presence of my foes. My head thou dost with oil anoint, and my cup overflows. The blessed advocate, the blessed anointed, the prophet, the priest, and the king. And may the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. Lord, be gracious and merciful to us, enabling us to draw near to thee, the great God of eternity, the one that sees us, and the one that sees all things concerning us, and the one that is looking upon thy people with the tender sympathy of a father, such pity as a father hath unto his children dear, like pity shows the Lord to such as worship him in fear. And that may be true, that that would be true of us, and that thou wouldst be a gracious help to us as we proceed to the other part of the service. And strengthen thy people, we pray thee, and give us all needed wisdom in all that we say and do, and wash away our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen.